Thank you for the puppet show. That was excellent, and it really did cover. It was just pretty much what my sermon's going to be. So Leon's ready to go, and we'll see if we can just cover maybe a couple more sort of points just to kind of colour it in a way. But let's first just have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you're the God who is with us. And we thank you that so much of what we understand is revealed to us through the words of the Bible. We pray again today that as we listen, we will, Lord, be renewed, we'll be understanding, but most of all, that, Lord, you'll be speaking to us. So we ask this to take place and pray that we'd be attentive to you and to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, they were a new church, and one of the problems that they had was that they expected Jesus to come fairly soon. But some of the members of their congregation had died, and they wondered what would happen to them. Where did they go? They had a normal funeral that they had, like everybody had in the Middle East. They had their funerals, and they were troubled and wondering what would happen when the Lord came to bring the creation with its sin and death into a new state of being where there's no more sin, no more death. And so Paul wrote to them in his letter about their Christian faith, and he set out to tell them what had actually happened. And these are the words that we've already had read by Glenn, but I'll just go slowly through them. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. So it's a way of saying, you know, sometimes we say that, well, they've fallen asleep. And Jesus, when Lazarus died, they said, well, Jesus said he's fallen asleep. And then he said, well, no, he's died. So they're interchangeable. But Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave. So he said, so you don't grieve as the rest of mankind who have no hope. One of the saddest things is our society had Christian faith as their understanding, and then people started to think, it doesn't sound plausible, it doesn't sound credible, and stopped sort of believing the Christian faith and then just sort of believe nothing. When you hear people say, when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. Nothing. Well, that's to have no hope. And Paul said, no, I don't want you to be like that with no hope, because the resurrection of Jesus is the overwhelming fact. It's the truth. And that's what we're basing all our thinking now and understanding on. People have touched him. He's been raised from the grave. The rest of the world, humankind, have to come to grips with that fact and readjust their science, readjust their sense of reality according to the resurrection. So then he said, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. So he will come, but he'll bring with him those who've already gone to be with the Lord. My mum, my dad, people that you know and love. Jesus will bring them with him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive and are left at the parousia. Now, I'm going to use that word a few times today. The parousia is just a Greek word that means something like the king coming and appearing. Whenever Greek-speaking people were saying that the emperor's coming to town and we'll have some trumpets blast and then he'll come in to the town, that was called the parousia. So there'd be a parousia of the king. It's like when the royal family, you know, come down the steps of the aeroplane. Kate and who is it? William, yeah. We hope that it's not Charles, but William that gets to be the one that does parousias around the place. There's something we like about him. Anyway, the coming and the appearing of the king is the thing they talked about. That was the parousia. So when Paul says, we who are left until the parousia of the Lord, he means when he turns up, the coming appearing. He said, we will not precede those who've fallen asleep. It's not that we come first and then those who've died. He said, no, it's actually like this. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. Now, the trumpet call, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, someone used to jokingly quip, that's the Anglicans, you know, there, or, you know, the whatever. But the dead in Christ, the anointings, maybe. Anyway, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then it says, and that we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, if you want to know what that means, ask the puppets. They really know, I think. To be caught up in to meet the Lord in the middle of the air. Every time I read that in my Bible, I sort of go, huh? And I think, will we have, you know, rocket shoes? Will we kind of, does it really mean that we'll meet in the middle of the air? All I know is when I hear it sung to me, you know, like I played to you earlier on my phone, Paul Kelly, incidentally, is well known to the priest, local priest here, Paul, Father Paul. He claims him, said he grew up here and is an Adelaide boy, Catholic boy, and he sings this song happily at his concerts. People all join in and sing it as well. I've got another version, The Idea of North, that's Joy Nutt. Do you know that lovely singing group? Joy's up at Oraru. They sing that as this song as well. And all I know is when I hear it, and everybody else hears it, we know what they mean, if you know what I mean. It's language that is telling us something that Christ's appearing is definitely going to happen. It's going to transform things. When you read, and you mentioned the Day of Jubilee right at the start, you can read in Leviticus about the Feast of Trumpets. I'll just read you a little bit. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month of the first day of the month, you shall observe a solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with the blast of trumpets and a holy convocation. You shall not do any work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. So they would have a trumpet blast on this special day. So Paul is saying that there'll be a trumpet blast, a sounding to say, this is it, the moment has come. And we will meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these things. One of the problems of the way the Bible speaks sometimes is it tends to give us the idea that our lives are going to be lived sort of in the middle of the air forever, or something like that. But if you read many other places in the Bible, it says, no, Jesus coming, appearing, it's not that he's a long way away and then comes from a long way. It's just that we can't see him. When he left, they went up onto the Mount Olivet. You can still go there. And while they were there, he was taken up. There was a cloud, it's a cloud, not a like a cumulus or a nimbus or a... Is it a nimbus one or is that a car? Anyway, a cumulus or a... Come on, help me. Yeah, all of those that you learned about at school. It's not one of those with moisture in it so much. It's a cloud of glory that accompanied Israel. The fire and the cloud accompanied them through the wilderness, God's presence. So Jesus was taken up and they went back to the temple, not sad. They went back rejoicing. Jesus said in the same way he would come again. So they knew he was with them. And you may remember this, that when he rose from the dead, right, the last words in Matthew say this. Jesus said, I want you to go and baptize everybody. And remember, I am with you until the close of the age. So they understood that even though Jesus had ascended into heaven and he was taken from our sight, he is with us. He is with us now. And the coming appearing will be that our sight will go from just kind of faith, where we can't see what's happening in heaven, and that will be opened up and Christ will come and appear. And when he appears, we shall be transformed. We shall be, Bible says, we shall be like him. We shall be given a resurrection body like his body of glory. So it'll have slightly different properties, but it'll still be very human, but it won't be a body that's subject to sin and death. You won't die anymore. You won't sin anymore. And that's where we're headed. Is that good? Do you understand how it's going to happen? Have I helped you to understand how it's going to happen? No. So I'm speaking in a similar manner to Paul. So it's like this. We will meet him in the middle of the air. The transformation from this creation to the renewed creation, we have to use that kind of language. They call it apocalyptic language. We have all sorts of phrases we use that don't exactly mean what we say. If you say to someone, I've got a sporting basketball game this afternoon, and we really want to win this one, you say, good on you, give them curry. Right? It doesn't mean you're going to take them hot meat and rice. It means give them curry. It's a way of saying something. You know, it means beat them. Go on, go well, do well. We have hundreds of phrases like that. So to meet the Lord in the middle of the air is an apocalyptic way of saying, it's language, special language, to speak of the reality, but in ways we're yet to know. Is that a help? And the Lord be with you. John Wesley once said, the best of all is this, God is with us. And that's the point of the incarnation. Jesus didn't come just to be here for a little while and then go again. He became incarnate to be incarnate forever. He became flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone to be flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone forever. God became human that we are human might participate in the divine nature. When he raises us up, we'll be a son, a terminology, but we'll be a human being like Jesus and we'll share in God's divine nature. And Naomi asked me, she said, can you tell me what it'll be like then? She's lost two husbands, so she's probably thinking, well, how's it going to look? And I said, yep. She said, I'll give you a year to get that sorted out. But we know, all I can tell you is what the Bible says, Christ raised from the dead. Everything's based on that. He ate some fish, so you'll be able to eat some fish. He spoke language, ordinary human language. People hugged him. Mary Magdalene grabbed hold of him. So you'll be able to grab hold of him. That is how substantial it shall be. And that's our hope. And our view of the world is changed because of the parousia of the Lord. I'll finish with James. He says, no, I've got one more little thing to say. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the parousia of the Lord. Trumpets all sound. James Morrison plays it, I reckon. And the farmer, he said, behold, the farmer waits patiently for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and the late rain. If you live out where Luke Burge lives, you get the early and the late rain. Other places, not so much. Isn't that right, Luke? Yeah. Anyway. Just like the farmer who waits patiently, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the parousia of the Lord is at hand. Just as farmers are patient, good years and bad, you be patient as well, because the Lord's coming appearing is soon. It's at hand. Just finish with a little illustration. Simon Dent used to be the pastor here, and he stood up at the synod meeting this week, and everybody had sort of been having debate with one another, back and forth, back and forth. And Simon stood up at the microphone and he said something like, he said, well, I'm looking forward to the parousia because we won't have to do this anymore. And so you can see that our hope is to be patient because the Lord's coming sorts out a lot of things that we're still trying to sort out. But it is his coming appearing, and we're preparing, we're seeking to be Christian people, following Christ, living like him, being prepared for that day when he comes, because that means the transformation of the world. May God add his blessing today. Thank you, puppets. Thank you. Actually, thank you, Kathy, for putting that together. I love the way you get great theological things and put them in a puppet's mouth and we kind of go, nailed it. Thank you. Very good. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we know we're dealing in mysteries and we thank you for this. We know that you want us to be repentant. You want us to be following your word. You want us to be new people as the Bible teaches us to be. And Lord, we pray that we might truly be ready for your coming. Help us to do this and help us to others understand these things as we anticipate that great day. Lord, in the meantime, help us share the good news, be faithful to your word, and to exhort others to come and believe and find your spirit, find hope in you. Thank you in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
We're going to close our worship here before we head out to continue sharing with each other. We're going to stand and sing Glorious Day.
Heaven was filled with his praises.